Grounding Hashem in our lives. That's where we're going to be jumping into. Today is the last day of the year, and we're going to be delving into this concept of crowning Hashem in our lives. Right? What does that mean to crown Hashem in our lives, in our day-to-day lives? So Rosh Hashanah is called Yom Hadin, the Day of Judgment. So the Day of Judgment is not just, you know, when we think about a judge judging us, or we're in a court case, that there's a judge and that they're looking at this person did that, and then there's the prosecutor, there's the defender, and it's a pretty intense process to be, you know, to be in that court. And so for many people, they believe and they think and they feel that this relationship that Rosh Hashanah has brings for them is this relationship of we're being judged. It's a day of judgment. You know, it's like Rosh Hashanah, it's a ooh. And it's like, it's true. The Talmud says that the entire world passes by Hashem. Kulam uvrim lefanav, right? Kivnei maron. Nei maron is like basically like sheep that are passing through a very, very thin line, and they're passing by, and like the owner of the sheep is looking at them like, yeah, that's a good one for sale over there. That's a good one for, you know, to do that too. That's a good one for this, for the, and they're being like looked at, right? This is a big one. This is a male. So the Talmud says that about kol ha'olam uvrim lefanav kivnei maron. So we know that is, The Talmud says that. Yet the day is called Yom Adin, Day of Judgment, that we're also being judged by our Father, right? So Hashem is called Avinu Malkeinu. So there's the judgment of, it's a two-part judgment that I'd like to kind of speak about today. The two-part judgment. The judgment of the king, the judgment of the judging, and then the judging of the father, right? Now, what does that mean? Okay. So the truth is that the judging of the judge is not an accurate description of a judge, like really, you know, looking at everything and punitively, you know, nitpicking like we almost do to ourselves, that in our perfectionistic, at least maybe I'm talking about myself, you know, you nitpicking, you know, did I do this, everything that, like we go crazy because of like not doing things, and I should have done that, and we harbor on and we keep on going on. So we must be viewed like that by Hashem. He's viewing us in that way of looking at all of our like little, you know, peculiar things, and it's a very funky way relationship to kind of go into when you're like, well, being judged by, I'm being nitpicked, and it's not such a great type of a vibe of a relationship to be in, because, you know, who wants to be punitively, you know, did you doesn't feel so good, right? So the truth is, the way Chassidus explains, the way Kabbalah explains the idea of the judgment of Hashem, right, is a very, very, especially in the writings of the Arizal, what goes on Rosh Hashanah is essentially a recreation of the world, that we go back to the inceptional point of creation, right? Right? Zayom. We say this in the Machzor, in our prayers. Zayom tchilat ma'asecha. This is the day of the beginning of ma'asecha, the beginning of your actions. Zikaron liyom rishon. It's a remembrance for the first day. Zayom, this day, is the beginning. Zayom tchilat ma'asecha. And on that, the question is, Zayom tchilat ma'asecha? Today, Rosh Hashanah, it's Zayom tchilat ma'asecha? Well, it started how many years ago? You know, we go thousands of years ago in the Jewish calendar, and, you know, right, not getting into like the world, how old the world is in the secular, millions of years, 5,784 years. Zayom tchilat ma'asecha, this is the beginning of your actions. This isn't the beginning of your actions. The world was created all the way back in the day. What does that mean? This is the beginning of your actions. And the explanation is that every single year, there's a reassessment and a regrouping, we could say, by Hashem, by the Creator, that he basically goes back and looks at, you know, what we say in Hebrew, like the nitunim, like the details, like there's like, do I want to do this again? Do I want to invest in this, you know, this balagan, this
mess,
right? Do I want to invest in this? It's like when, you know, someone who's an investor, you know, and they're investing in a company, in a business, and they're looking at they want to see, okay, what's the ROI? What's going to be with this? You know, do I want to put in, you know, investment into this? And so Hashem invests, basically. Hashem gives life, the creation of the world. And so on Rosh Hashanah, it says that the world, tole eretz al blima, that the world hangs, basically, until the time of the blowing of the shofar, the first day of Rosh Hashanah. This year, it is on Shabbat. So actually, we sort of, it's we could say on a spiritual level, the energy of Shabbat, the what we call tainug, the pleasure of Shabbat, is much more conducive for this level of judgment. That's why, because the first day, according to the Arizal, is an intense day of judgment. And when it's Shabbat, we actually have much more of a time of oneg, a time of pleasure, where Hashem is like, oh, it's Shabbat. So we could say that this year is of much more of a different energy of Shabbat that's there, right? And we don't blow the shofar, actually, but the second day we do. But essentially, the world is hanging, basically, are we going to get like the yes? Are we going to get the answer back that it's going to happen again this year, that the world is going to be recreated? So obviously, like in our minds, we're like, of course the world is going to be recreated. Of course, like, you know, it's a physical world and it's here. What are you talking about? Like, what does that mean that the life force leaves? I don't see any difference between now and not. So it says that there's an external way that Hashem enlivens the world and an internal way that Hashem enlivens the world. And the external way that Hashem enlivens the world in Kabbalah, it's a unity of Zer Anpin and Malchut, which is a lower level of unity. And that level of unity is something that Hashem is felt on the external realms. But on the level of what we call Ava, Abba and Ima, which is the level of Chochmah and Bina, on the higher levels, that is the root of Zer Anpin and Malchut. And on that level, which is much more of the internal level, that rises up, and because that's a creative process, and it's up for the jury. Like, you know, it's up for the, if whether or not it's going to be another year, and the world is going, how the world is going to look like, and how it, you know, the year is going to manifest on the external realms, because the external realm is a shell, right? But the internal is really what is governing. It's like the battery, it's the charge, it's charging, it's coming from the spiritual life force, which is the root of it all. And on Rosh Hashanah, there is a debate, sort of speak, up in Shamayim, whether or not that life force will come down, right? Or how it will come down. And how do we do this? Well, we do this through the shofar, right? And that's why Rosh Hashanah is intrinsically connected to the blowing of the shofar. What is the shofar? The shofar is the calling of the heart. It's the deepest place, and it's the calling of the heart, not just even from the heart that you just, you know, you scream out, like, you know, with a voice. And it's not the call of the brain, of the mind, how smart you are and what you're learning and how much you know and how great you are and what your career and what you've done and da da da. It's none of that. You take an inanimate object physical object and you approach and you and that's what we use to basically draw down this life force, which is beyond the world into the world with an inanimate physical, right? Again, the lowest, right? We have the inanimate, the vegetative, we've got the living, we've got the human, and we take an inanimate, and with that is the tool to draw down the most spiritual part. Now, question is why? And the answer is that where does Hashem want to be known? In our inanimate, unconscious, subconscious sometimes, physical dimensions, not just in our intellectual, our emotional, and even spiritual. Although, like, you know, we strive to connect spiritually, but Hashem wants to be embodied. He wants to be known in the world, in the physical world, in our physical dimensions, in that part of ourselves. And so what is the judgment on Rosh Hashanah? The judgment of Rosh Hashanah is how much are we bringing Hashem into the physical dimension, which means physical isn't just relegated just to physical, because if I'm supposed to now be involved with a spiritual endeavor, then I could approach it as something spiritual and something lofty and something out of the body versus this is now what I'm doing. So it's very much connected to the doing, to the body as well, because this is now the now, this is now the process. And so I'm doing the spiritual, I'm doing the emotional. And it's all the presence of finding Hashem in our lives, right? And not being unconscious. Now, thank God, I mean, we're blessed to live in these times, but we also have so many distractions living in these times. And we have what? Little ones. We have distractions, and they're basically called our phones. And they're a great blessing and great potential and great tool for potentially learning and connecting to people, communicating, etc. But even when you're not on it, you're thinking about it and your mind is distracted from being in the here and now, from being like present. Not going into that and ragging on any of that. That's not the point. But really, the point is that the judgment of Rosh Hashanah is how present are we in our lives of not just in the spiritual way, right, but in the ben adam lechavero, in our person to our friend, in my interactions, right? And none of us are perfect, and all of us, like, you know, make consistent mistakes over and over again, right? You know, we make the same mistakes and we repeat them, and that's a part of being a human being in this world in a body. But the challenge is, how much presence do I really have? How much presence do I have of recognizing my purpose, my mission in this world, of bringing Elokus, bringing godliness in my life, right? So I could be walking down the street, not necessarily not learning, but I'm
observing, seeing the color of the flower, looking at signs. God is talking to me through signs.
How much am I seeing Hashem in the world, right? Through Hashgacha Pratit, which is a major tenet of recognizing that everything is synchronized, everything is Elokos, everything is according to Hasidus. The judgment is how much were we unconscious in our lives, not present. Because basically Hashem is
unconscious
and conscious, and conscious is recognizing. And this is something that we're all striving for, and we're all super distracted by. But we realize, because it's either bust or be conscious as a humanity, as a people. Like we have like either go into like chaotic, like crazy, hateful communication, and this side is that, and the other side is that, and and it's like horrible, you know, the way we could communicate, right? As, you know, as political parties, as individuals, you know, you believe that, you're that, you're that, you're that. So it's either keeping up with that, which means like we're gonna implode, because it's not possible to live that way as a humanity in every society, like just like combusted from within, because they were unable to like really just maintain that. Versus how do we use the technological advancements that we have, not for leaving hateful comments, not for like now you have an opportunity to have a platform to like speak negatively, but now how do you use that platform, or how do you use those opportunities to actually be more present and more conscious and bring elokus, bring godliness more into the world? How are we doing that? How are we using that? And that's the judgment. Hashem is judging us. Not like, did you do that? Did you do that? That's like a very like, yeah, and it's an archaic way of looking at things, which is really very much reflected on our own limitations, that we think that Hashem is the, you know, is even like looking at that, and which we'll speak about that in a second. But the judgment is, how much did we bring Hashem in our life? Yes. No, 100%. Well, it's not just, if it's just us, then it's right.
It's secret, we don't
know. Right. But
we spread the mind of
different. How much did we make that available? Right. Exactly. Right. How much good did we perpetuate in the world this year? You know, the extent, again, it's not to get down on ourselves, be like, oh, you know, I'm only this and I only did that, but how much, you know, how much, like that, the judgment is that. But as we prepare for Shana, today is the last day of the year, right? The last day of Amelech Basadeh, that the king's in the field. We'll speak about that in a second. That basically we are preparing for what we want to do better. In other words, to take on right now in our minds, and you know, to make commitments, whatever that means, you know, on whatever level of, or to aspire for, to bring more presence. How is that going to happen? Maybe it's you know, learning more, it's davening more, going into nature more, maybe not being on our phone as much, maybe putting limitations. There's all these tools that we could use, but it starts with ourselves, right? Because you could say, yes, you know, it's how much we're doing for others, but really it's like it starts with ourselves, like the sort of like the discipline of what it is that we need more of. You know, like today I recognize, like I was thinking, you know, of a certain thing in my life that I would like to, and I was like, oh, obviously, because I don't have these things in place. And so, like, when you just practically think of, you know, of things that are simple as writing down, you know, your goals for the day, and being accountable for them. So that's something tremendous, you know. Like there are just so many ways that we can become more accountable and just bring this down. And this is right now the time to do this. Like right now, like obviously on Rosh Hashanah, we could do that. But on the last day of the year, it's like the sum all of the entire year. Like the entire year. And we're able to fix. The whole month of Elul is a feminine month. Mm-hmm. Which is the idea also of reflecting, and it's a gevura type of a month, and as well it's chesed, but it's judging in a good way of, like, you know, analyzing what is needed. So bringing presence, bring Hashem's presence into our relationships that we have with people, right? That relationships, like half of the communication that's going on in the world right now, the way people are talking to each other would not happen, would not be there if they would for a second think, what is coming out of my mouth? Do I want to say something like that? Do I want to say something hurtful to someone? Do I want to waste my energy, my that Hashem has given me, to now say something negative, waste my time to say something negative to someone, or to leave a hateful comment, or to say something, like, you know, not nice? Do I want to waste that life force that Hashem has given me, that opportunity, that life, that literally to say something not good, right? It's a waste of time to, like, really, you know, to do that, right? And we all know that, like, when we have different quarrels with different people in our lives, like, we waste time by being angry. And it's like, you know, it's like into, like, you're holding the garbage, and instead of, like, just put it in the pail, you know, like, put it, like, just drop it. But, like, we hold on to it, and hold on to it. And you know, it's taking away from presence, right? It's taking away, like, as opposed to, like, I've let it go. Feels good to just, like, let something go, to, like, forgive and forget. Like, I forgave someone that hurt me, right? Or I forgot something, right? That, wow, there's no better feeling what to just let that go. Like that's what we do with Tashlich, in fact, right? What do we do with Tashlich? It's not just going water and whatever. It's just take something and you just let it go. You know, you take the things that you're harboring, things that are limiting, and you just go like I'm letting it go back into the source. It's going back into the light, into the source. It's being uplifted, it's being transformed. And that's what we do on Rosh Hashanah. And that's what we let go. We let go of those parts of ourselves that are holding us back from, by contemplating, and by recognizing that it's a lack of letting, it's a waste of time, basically. It's a lack of presence, right? And in fact, that's what we do also later on by Yom Kippur. Before we start Yom Kippur, there's a famous prayer, which is called Kol Nidre. Right? It's like, you know, there's Leonard Cohen's song on that, right? Kol Nidre. And intense, Kol Nidre, right? What is that? What's a neder? Neder is a limiting belief that we have. That's what a neder is. A neder is like, you have taken an oath upon yourself that you will never do this and that because of a certain pain or trauma that has triggered that. And that oath is basically just in our subconscious. It's in our belief system. And it's not allowing us to actually fully live because we believe it. right? We are just, it's not anything that is, like, you could say, let me point it out here and there and there and there. And actually, as we go into Rosh Hashanah, and actually these 10 days are all like this one big process of, you know, until we get from Rosh Hashanah all the way to Yom Kippur, it's really one thing. And actually Yom Kippur is called Rosh Hashanah as well in the Navi. But basically we let go on Rosh Hashanah, we do the Tashlich, and we let go on Yom Kippur, where we let go of these limiting beliefs that are not allowing Hashem in the world. And this judgment of Rosh Hashanah is not a literal judgment. I mean, it's a judgment, but it's a judgment, Yom Adin, of how much can we fully allow Hashem in the world.
I was new neder is when you take an oath of something.
Yeah, so what is it?
When you do it three times, but you gave me something under the chagorah, totally.
But what is a neder? What is an oath? What is an oath? An oath, a neder is like, I will not drink wine. That's what a Nazirite, I will not drink wine. So that, well, or I'm a Nazir. So they made an oath upon themselves, right? Or they take on an oath. So a neder is a very serious thing. Like, you have to do atarat nedarim, and it has to be like absolve, let go. And it's basically saying that I will not do something. Like, you're taking a very big stance. That's what a neder is. You're making a stance and you're saying, I will not do something. And in our minds, we have those stances that we have. And the depth of this prayer of Kol Nidre really is like, we want to let go of those limiting beliefs.
I'm in the middle of this process exactly right now. And my brain, Nadad, went away to thinking about it while you were speaking. And then I had to bring myself back to the lesson because I have something that I just can't let go. And I see so, how I make this neder now, yeah, not to do this and this and this and this. And I don't want to do this neder, but like I'm programmed to do it. And I'm just fighting it.
So, right.
You added something. So, that is what I feel like, wow, now. It's not only the nethering that you took upon yourself. You gave me plenty of work now. Every hurt that stays in me as a pattern, it's like a nether, you say. It's like harakiri now in my tummy.
It's a nether that comes from not from anything that is happening now. It's happening in the past. It happened in the past.
Dot, that dirty someplace, and you don't see it in the screen.
Right. It happened in the past. It just keeps on going on because we haven't let go of the vow of it hurting us, right?
I don't know, days ago, and it's just
what?
The beginning.
We say
bli neder. So a nether is a very tangible thing. It's basically saying, I will not eat these type of cookies anymore, right? So technically that has weight, that I can't eat them unless I go and I make what is called hatarat nedarim, right? It's a process.
Taking
an oath that absolves this oath, right? But on a spiritual level, right? Because it explains that an oath is something that we take upon ourselves that limits us. How do you stop it? Well, you're just by being a human being, you take on, we take on all these oaths because we don't know like what it means to be. I mean, we do because we are reincarnated over, you know, multiple times in so we've had other lifetimes and a lot of times from previous lifetimes, we bring oaths that we limit ourselves because of a previous event in our past life.
You
okay, but what about let's just say if you're like taking upon yourself like a minhag or something that in theory is like positive, mm-hmm. or you're doing a positive action, but for whatever reason you're not able to uphold it, you're not able to like stick to it. So then like where does that fit in with all this? So like wouldn't it be even harder to like do a tarot and a dharma for it or something else? Because in theory, like it is a good thing. It's not like something like negative that you're doing?
Yes. I mean, there is a positive oath, right? But actually it says that that a nazir that takes an oath upon themselves not to drink wine, they have to afterwards bring a sacrifice, which is in temple times, there were a sacrifice of chatat, a sin sacrifice, because they basically, they limited themselves from having an enjoyment of this world. And Hashem created this world. And there's a midrash that says that after 120, after we, you know, we leave this world, right? We go up to heaven, and we get asked at a certain point, did you enjoy my world? Hashem is going to say, did you enjoy my, but not enjoy my world. Yes, I went to every party and I did that. And I bought the big Mercedes Benz, the latest one. And I had that going on, and I had plenty of, that's an enjoyment of the world, which is the will to receive for the self. But did you enjoy my world in and bring me in the world, basically? Did you recognize me in the world? Did you have no problem drive a Mercedes Benz? If that floats your boat, like, and you're able to bring, you know, godliness, and you give because of what you're doing, and you're great, amazing. You want a yacht? Get a yacht. That brings Hashem in the world. But if it's for the self, then that's not a good thing.
It's not even real enjoyment. I feel like when Shen is asking you that question, he's like, did you learn what enjoyment is?
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
That's exactly it. It's not really enjoying it because you're not really in. So there's a Mishnah that says in Pirkei Avot, it says, in kemach, ein Torah, right? It means if there's no flower, then there's no Torah. But it means also if there's no, what's flour? Flour is money. If there's no kemach, if there's no money, then there's no Torah. And then the Mishnah says, "Im ein Torah, ein kemach." If there's no Torah, then there's no kemach. So on that, the commentaries ask, Rabbi Ovadia of Bar Tanura asks this question. He says, "What do you mean by that? If there's no Torah, then there's no sustenance, then there's no bread. Like that's not true. We see plenty of people that don't have Torah and they're very wealthy, you know. And so, what does that mean?" So he explains, "In ein Torah, ein kemach," means that you don't really enjoy the kemach unless you have Torah. So you're saying you don't really have, you can't fully enjoy it, because when you enjoy that apple and you're like, wow, are you kidding me? Like, that apple is gorgeous. Like, that's a green apple and it's sour and the texture of it. And, you know, and I recognize God in that enjoyment. So I brought God in that enjoyment, in that moment, which is what Hashem wants, as opposed to like taking it and like, whoop, you know, or like quickly eating because it's got, you know, if I don't quickly get food in my, you know, like kiddish syndrome, like if I don't quickly like pile up what I need to pile up, then I'm not going to have it. Like, it's okay, you know, enjoy. And what you have, you know, like be present with where you're at and what you're getting. Don't like snarf it down because there isn't going to be more in a second, right? It's a realization. It's a different level of realization. So we're going to be asked after 120, did you enjoy my world? Hashem basically says, I created all this for you. This is my world. It's a beautiful world. Beautiful world. Incredible world. Intricate world. Godly world. Right? Did you enjoy it? What?
What happens when you say no?
If you say no, then basically you're gonna, that's the judgment. The question is like, well, why? Why? Because we've got these nidarim on you that are holding you back. saying like, if I don't eat the apple quickly, then I'm not going to be able to catch that, and or I'm not going to have enough of it. And whereas, like, most of what we think is going to happen is just triggers that we have in our minds that are not reality. It just goes on autopilot. We're just habituated.
So we all have to do what happened to them. Because now you told me big story. Each time.
There's an Indian to do Atarat Nedarim before Rosh Hashanah also. Some people do that. Sephardim do that.
I thought I was released only from Nedarim.
No.
So there's an Hadat Nedarim tomorrow morning, yes. Tomorrow is an Hadat Nedarim, yeah.
As you have
an
Ishiva test that they are doing, usually.
Mm-hmm.
No, you taught me something very big. That yeah. They didn't do Atarat Nedarim for things that I did 3 times or I took upon myself. Many secret hurts that were right. Limiting me were demolished every Rosh Hashanah because right. I did the Atarat Nedarim and I didn't
mm-hmm.
know.
Mm-hmm.
It's yeah. Big what you said now. I never heard it before.
Baruch Hashem. Well, we have to, that's why we're in this world. And it's Hashem's world. And Hashem is, what does that mean, judging us? Basically saying, like, how much did you enjoy my world? How much were you present in my world to really enjoy at the end of the day? Right? Versus limit and be unconscious, right? It's bringing the unconscious into the conscious. And so we've got another, that second level of judgment. So that we've got these two judges, right? Avinu, Malkeinu. We've got, right, the judging, right? But we've got our Father. And that sense of the Father figure is, I guess, for a lot of people, is not a simple relationship that many people have. And for others it's great, for others it's not. I remember one time I was here in Ascent, and I had a conversation with a young woman that had a serious trauma, right? Leave it at that. And she was like, I don't get, like, what does that mean that God is our Father, right? And that there's a love there. Like, I don't get it, because from where she was coming from, like, it didn't feel that way, right? There was that hurtfulness. And so what do you think would be
lesson? Each time you teach me, I learned with you for 8 years, you never said it.
Chaim.
So what, you're the time, thank God.
Baruch Hashem, that's what life is about. Sure. Shkar, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Thank you.
Wow.
It's empty. It's to be full. Thank you very much.
You want wine for the last night of Elul? I can bring wine.
Wait. So what do you think I said? Like, what do you think would be the answer? Someone that went through traumatic relationship with their father. How are you supposed to now feel a love for the Creator, who's called our Father?
Because Father is the most close thing to a daughter.
I guess this is where, like, the whole, like, metaphor of, like, the surgeon, surgery, father taking his child to a surgeon, like, would come into play.
What do you mean by that?
Like, I guess the trauma would be, like, the surgery, but, like, well, you're still in it, you're just feeling the pain. It's only afterwards, once, like, the healing takes place, that you realized, oh, like, that surgery was a necessity, or it, like, saved your life, or it had, like, a positive and necessary purpose, whatever it is. But while you're in it, you don't see it.
Okay, that's a nice way. That's a nice way to put it. Yeah, yeah. I hear that.
Is that Shalom?
Thank you. So the truth is that Hashem loves us beyond words, that Hashem is hugging us beyond what we could imagine. And if he would squeeze hard enough, like, we wouldn't be able to exist, right? Because of the intense love. It's like almost like when you hold a child, a baby, that is so cute, and all babies are mostly cute. Even some are cuter than others, but like, everyone's like, oh, it looks like whatever. But you're holding on to a baby, and you want to smother them. You love them, and you kiss them, and you feel that love. And and the baby is crying because the baby is saying, like, leave me alone. You are you're smothering. Get this adult out of my, you know, out of here already. Just put me down. And it's like that by the Creator. It's like that by Hashem's love for us. He loves us so much, right? Loves us so much, but yet he gives us space. He gives us space, because if he would love us as much as we would really feel as he does, then we wouldn't be able to exist. We wouldn't be able to contain the absolute in crazy amount of love that he has for us. We wouldn't be physically alive. We wouldn't be in this world if we felt that love is so beyond that it would just blow us out of the water from the intensity of it, right? Ma'im rabim lo yichlu lechabot et ahava, rishvei esh shalhevet yudke. Right, the whole Song of Songs is really talking about like this love of which is an intense love between that Hashem has for us, and between Hashem and Jewish people. And Hashem loves our souls and hugs us in such an incredible way, and yet he gives us space, because that space is that ability to then find ourselves and have that relationship and find out that who we are, and to be able to embrace his love, right? So how do you reconnect to a love of God when there was a traumatic situation like that? So obviously, you know, there's a lot of healing that needs to happen, and there's a lot of like first clearing of trauma, and to be able to then reorient and recalibrate the love from that source, because the love of that source has always been there and it's always there, right? And when we tap into that love, when we think about that love, it's cool. No, it's perfect. It's beautiful. And when we recalibrate that love and think about that love, we're healed, and we realize that even the traumas are just a part of a greater level of love that are there for our greatest good. But it's so beyond that it's not even understood. So the second level of why do we?
It's like, why does he have to touch us? Because God touches us like this. Why does he have to touch us like this? Where aren't we wearing him or killing him? That you need this to the
why the trauma? So the trauma is then to show us that a deeper level of love. Like, because of that, you get, when we, there's a saying from Rabbi Nachman, that when a person realizes, she'adam yodea shekol me'orotav im letova, right? When a person knows that everything that happens to him is for the good, ze me'ein, ze b'chinat me'ein olam haba. It's a level of the next world, where we only recognize why and how and things and everything like that happened, maybe not in this world, but in the next world. But when a person deeply knows and they know that everything is coming from that good place, that good source, שאדם יודע שכל מאורותיו הם לטובה, זה מעין עולם הבא. So he's living in olam haba. He's living in the next world, in this world. So the bad is not really the bad, is really good, right? There's a story of Rav Zusha of Anipoli, that one time the Magid, someone came to the Magid of Mezrich. He said, I'm going through so much. I'm doing all it. Like, and the Magid of Mezrich said, wow, I hear you. You know, I want you to go to Rav Zusha of Anipoli and go visit him and see his life and learn from him. So he goes and he goes to the city of Anipoli. And he's like, where's Rav Zusha? And so nobody even like fully knows who he is. It's like, oh, you mean Zusha? You know, he went only by his first name. He lives at the edge of town. Goes to the edge of town.
Well, we have to get
him. He's in a pretty much a what do you call it? A shack. And he's living in a shack. And he goes and he knocks on the door. He's about to break the door because of how it's there. And Rav Zusha opens up. He's like, oh, Shalom Aleichem, Abid, come on in to my house. Comes on in. He doesn't even have a place to sit. There's no food. There's a, and he's like, why are you here? He's like, no, I get why I'm here. He's like, no, tell me. Or the Magid of Mezrich sent me to you so I could understand what it means to go through hardships in life. And I see now, I see now why, because I see how you're living, and you know, and his wife, right? All these things. And he's like, now I get why the Rebbe sent me here to you, because I get it now. I see your life. You know, I appreciate it. Thank you. He's like, really? What do you mean? What are you talking about? My life is so good. My life is amazing. So he's like, now I really get it, right? He thought that he got the lesson, but he was like, oh, that's the lesson. The lesson is to not even see the bad.
There's no bad.
There's no bad. That's a high level. That's a very high level. I'm learning. But it's in our life, right? Do we see the good? Do we see the good, even though it seems like it's bad? Do we recognize the good, like, as thank you, Hashem, like as simple as that? You know, wow, thank you, Hashem. I'm in that. Thank you, Hashem. That has happened. One way.
Like when you have difficulties, you have to look inside and find your inner force, your talents.
Yeah,
and that's the only way I can see bad things. Good, because it makes me get my powers out. How you say that?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
And, it's a good thing.
Yeah. So there's an even deeper way, I believe, that is it's called gratitude, hoda'ah, to say toda l'Hashem. And it may seem like a very easy, simple cliche. Oh, thank you, Hashem, whatever. But no. It's actually such a deep way of connecting to the creator, because when you say thank you Hashem or Baruch Hashem, which the Baal Shem Tov went from city to city and he said to a simple Jew, how are you? And he used to say, oh, Baruch Hashem. He was like, oh, he collected those. And his teacher Achia Shiloni, right, said, you know what, those simple people are in a way higher than those great scholars, because those great scholars are limited in their faculties and what they intellectually know and how much, but it's still ego. They're still limited by that, right? It's a little hard to say, but it was like, but it's a very deep lesson that those simple people that are thanking Hashem in those very hard times, that there was, you know, no running water, there was no, you know, things that we have now that we take for granted. Like, are you kidding me? You could go to the bathroom and flush. Like, you could just go and get like water in a second. You could take a hot shower. Fine. It may not be perfect. You may not get the greatest shower head. Maybe not, you know, here for per se, but But are you kidding me? You know, you have an ability, or you know, or we're here in Eretz Yisrael, in the Holy Land, and you know, we're it's like a miracle. Are you kidding me? We're living here and now during these times. You know, we're able to learn Torah. We're able to connect.
We are protected. We have Kippat Barzel.
Yeah, it's amazing blessings, right? And we're looking at like, as like, oh, this is, you know, it's like dark. It's like this is bad, and right, it's obvious. It's a given until right, God forbid, right, something. But also to thank Hashem for what, for our health, and to things that we take for granted. You know, and it says, "Who is rich? Ezu Ashir? Who's Ashir? Einaim, Shinaim, Yadaim, Raglaim. You have your sight. You have your teeth. You have your hands. You have your feet. In other words, you have you're like, no, but I'm not tall enough. But I'm not this color. I'm not blonde, or I'm not this, or I'm not I'm not this. I'm not this enough. And again, it's like those are crazy like warp, like nadarim. They basically that we take upon ourselves. And like I'm like, I am only going to be happy if I'm this and this and the other. Yeah. And
this is the dangerous nadarim.
And it's crazy because at the end of the day, you know, I just this week, like I just met someone who's whatever struggling with a certain ailment, and he would be so happy if he would be getting up to like status quo, you know, and that's the whole focus, right? But when we're at status quo, we're like, I'm not happy here because I'm only going to be happy if I this and that. But that ability to find gratitude and to basically thank Hashem, our Father, for giving us the now, for giving us this moment, this present that we call life, is so profound. And on Rosh Hashanah, again, that day of judgment, it's again, it's how much presence do we bring into our lives? How much are we aware of those distractions in our life that are taking us away from really being present? And how much are we focusing on the positive in our life, mm-hmm. right?
We have and only one day.
We have two days of Rosh Hashanah. Two days.
We have only one day. This night to understand how to do it, because it's very hard. We have difficult life, very strange, miserable life sometimes, and we need to be gratitude. And I find myself some days very, very gratitude, and some days I'm just like, what's happening here? So you have small, quick tips for us how to do this until tomorrow, because we don't have time.
Yeah, it's to create a 5 things that you're grateful for. 5 things, just 5 things.
So many.
just 5 things.
One is
you could, but they don't have to be major things. They could be, you know, thank you Hashem for these 5 things. Thank you Hashem for the blue sky. Thank you Hashem for my, you know, my children. Thank you Hashem for my, right? Thank you. Thank you Hashem for. And actually, when we make that a practice in our lives, like just to really do that, and maybe this is such a great practice to take on for the new year, you know, to create a gratitude journal. So 5 to really even think about that, because Hashem wants to be recognized. Like what is a bracha? What is a blessing? We're recognizing Hashem in the world. We're saying, thank you for this water, right? Thank you for bringing me the water. And thank you for, you know, and we're grateful. So Hashem wants to be known in the world. And such a powerful way to do that is gratitude, is todah, is being thankful. So a tip, very important, is maybe not for right now, you're going to get all grateful, but to take on a journal, but to take on for the year, right? Every single night before you go to sleep, write down 5 things that you are grateful for. There's a psychologist, she's a researcher, I actually spoke to her, who wrote about happiness, like Secret of Happiness, and different like from a scientific point of view. Her name is Sonia Lubominsky. She's she's from Berkeley, whatever, like a well-known person. And she writes that one of the most incredible ways, tips of getting happy that she's found from research is that people who are grateful are happier.
But I'm a tough case, because for one night, remember, in your house, I wrote 40 pages of thank you, Hashem.
But it's not just about one night. It's
very bad things happen. So how can I just keep on doing this?
So thank Hashem for the bad things also.
I try.
So if you could do that, that's a big thing. That's a big thing, to thank Hashem for all those things.
It doesn't work.
Anyways, I want to thank Hashem for this, for you guys, for really everyone here, all, you know, for our class, and for, you know, for this moment right now, and I want to wish you like a beautiful new year, a year of sweetness, right? Shana Tova Umetuka, where we take the sweetness. And what is interesting is, actually, just a note on that, that, you know, what do we use for honey? There's a great Hasidic master called the Shemesh Shmuel. You know, we take honey, but honey actually comes from a bee that stings. But we... And the lesson that he says is that in life, you know, we have the choice to look at the harshness, right? At the sting, right? Or you could look at, well, it produced that. Mm-hmm. There's a positivity. And actually, when it stings, you don't even see the positivity that's there. But you know that it's there because they're doing good stuff, those bees, right? You know, they're going into. So why do we do that? Because because even those areas in our life are there to be recognized, that they are good, that they're sweet. We may not know it fully yet. We may not understand it, and we often don't. But it's not about understanding it per se. It's acknowledging, and the power of gratitude, the power of thanking Hashem, right? Thank you, Hashem, is that powerful to do that. So a very, very important takeaway, if we all you know, there's just very practically, you know, for the new year, I found it really life-changing for myself. It's not about writing 40 things all at once, like the day before Rosh Hashanah or whatever. It's about doing 5 a day. And if you want, write 6 or 10, that works. But do the same thing the next day. You know, if you miss a day, that's fine. Thank you, Hashem, even for that, because I missed it. And you missed a week, so get back on it. But like, if you could do it, you have your journal. Say thank you, Hashem, for that. Thank you, Hashem, for that. That is bringing Hashem into our lives, right? And essentially, you know what? Hashem desires to be known and to give more to someone who is grateful for what they have. So it's like us. Like Hashem is like, should I recreate the world or not? Give it another year? I don't know about that. But when there's someone down below, it's like, thank you, Hashem. Like, I am happy. You know, I'm like, yes, you know, it's good. You know, like Reb Zusha. Thank you, Hashem. Like, so then Hashem is like, well, amazing. I gave him this, and he knows me even there. What do you need? What else do you need? You need that? You know, you need your other half to fulfill you. Got it. You need like more money. Got it. You need health. You got like, it really is just this very, very key recipe for all good things. So Shana Tova Umetuka, good and sweet year for all of us. And bless you all. Yes, bless you all for a very, very beautiful year. That everything that we desire for the good become manifested into the year on all levels, on the spiritual, emotional, health levels, for those that need health and on the financial level and on all levels. So many blessings to everyone. And if I think tomorrow I'm going to be going to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. So playing tonight. No. So I'm going to have you all in mind, and it should be a very, very good year. Shana Tova, everyone.
Shana Tova. Thank you. Thank you.
Amen.
Bless us.